0 TR.
What about that?
KN4 VWA.
Oh, just finished up eating some cereal with pizzas and a cup of coffee and walked over here and sat down watching Rawhide.
Must be watching, what is that, 31,
31,
what is that, 31.6? 5. Rawhide comes, something else, and then Jag, isn't it? Oh no, I know what it is. Rawhide, then High Chaparral, and then Jag.
Yeah, we don't watch it long enough to see all of that, but, the High Chaparral I'm not crazy about, but I do like Jag, and, reminds me of the old days. I was watching NHRA drags yesterday, Steve, and it said those guys pull 5 G's taken out in those things with 11,000 horsepower, and they said that an aircraft, like when we got shot off the carrier, was 3.5 G's. Man, that's a lot of power, ain't it?
Have you ever watched those huge, wide drag slicks get skinny when they spin them up?
Oh, yes, and wrinkle up, and that just amazes me when those Goodyears are sticking down there, and they just look like they're ripples in the water, and then they grow about 2 or 3 feet.
Some drags here about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and man, oh man, they started making a real stink about it because nobody from the far lane from where the camera was turning any decent times, and most of them were smoking the tires up, and they couldn't get traction, and finally they went out there and they did something to the track. And the lane started winning.
Don't doubt it. I don't know that much about it, Steve, but I thought they watched that pretty close. Oh, you know that one, he's the craziest of them all, and his daughter, he's probably the winningest of them all in the funny car. And can you remember his name, Bernice? John Force. His daughter, yesterday, it's just amazing. She turned 325 miles an hour, and I forget what the ET was, Steve, 3 point some odd seconds.
At some point, human physiology is going to have to kick in, because you know, you just can't accelerate but so much. What is it, 7 G's or 8 G's where you start passing out and go into tunnel vision?
9 G's, Steve. And I don't know when the G-suit kicks in. I never did fly in an aircraft like that. Ours was lucky to make about 225 miles an hour back when I was flying in the off the carrier, and it was in a submarine plane, an S2 D&E, but the P3 Orions, they only fly about 360 knots, but they didn't fly off a carrier, of course.
Submarine hunter that you flew off the carrier in, was that shaped kind of like an E2 Hawkeye?
But the E2 Hawkeye back then would have been called an E1B, and it was just about exactly like an S2, only it had a dome on top of it, and the dome was more elongated, whereas the E2 Hawkeye has a disc on it. Now, they had those back then, but they were flying off of the bigger carriers. Ours was 895 feet long. and the bigger carriers were just slightly over 1,000 feet long, and they were called CVAs, and ours was called a CVS. During World War II, it was a CVA, an attack carrier, but then they converted them to CVSs, and they put an angle deck on them. And it used to be, when the task force went out, there was always a CVS carrier alongside the CVAs. But now they can do it all off of the CVAs.
Yeah, I remember those E-2 Hawkeyes were radar interdiction and air traffic control in the battlefield.
Yeah, Steve, I can't remember specifics, and don't quote me on this, but I think they could control about 600 aircraft at a time, but they could control everything like from LaGuardia and Dulles and I don't know, three of the major airports in the United States at one time from that one aircraft was within their capabilities.
Monitor that many. They couldn't actually do air traffic control with that many aircraft. It takes probably... on ground control, scope dopes, it probably takes between 20 and 25 active scope dopes to run Atlanta right now.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right. I just misstated that, but ooh, I'm shaking. I just got done eating that cold cereal and that, and my left lung's attached to my rib cage. I get cold pretty easy. shoot, yeah, but it was an incredible airplane. I had a friend that worked on the hydraulic systems on the E-2As, and they still are in service, and of course updated versions of them, and they're really something. But like I said, ours were E-1Bs that did the over-the-horizon radar. They'd fly out around the perimeter and do the air traffic control from there. And then when you landed, it was, if you called for it, it was called CCA, or carrier controlled approach. That's kind of fun. You know, we wore full helmets, so as crew members, we were listening to that also, and it was pretty neat.
Yep, those are quite incredible aircraft, I tell you. And aerodynamically, it looks just like a big flying pancake on top of a regular airplane.
Yeah.
Oh well. Anyhow, now wait a minute. What was the big 707 that had the huge dome on it?
Wax, and those were Air Force designations, and I can't remember, E-2Cs or something like that. And then the Navy had a 707, and it was white, as I remember it, in later years, and it's still an airborne control center. I think they used it to communicate with the submarines and that. I can't remember the designation on it either, but the AWACS were something. Now, we had, when I was going to school in Jacksonville, we had what they called a Willie Victor, and it was a Super Connie, and it had a 1 megawatt radar in the belly, big, huge, bulbous-looking thing. And then there was one on top of it, and I don't really know what that was, but they would take out of there and fly into the hurricanes with those also. But they were a Navy plane. They had, like, I don't know, R-4400s or something on them with water injection, and those things would take off past our barracks, and man, did they roar.
Honey, are you talking about Constellations?
Yeah, the Super Connies, like TWA used to fly back in the old days, only these were Navy aircraft.
From everything I've read, those things were super reliable.
I don't really comment on that. I never heard of any of them crashing, but they were noisy, I can tell you that, because we had wooden barracks there, and it wasn't too far from the runway, and they'd go taking off down them at all hours of the day and the night, and they really sounded cool. I can't ever forget the sound of the reciprocating engines. I still love it.
But that is a fading technology now. The only time you really see a reciprocating engine these days is on a Harley.
Well, the radials are so maintenance required is incredible compared to a jet engine. A jet engine is one of the most efficient things in the world. I think a transformer is about the only thing comparable as far as reliability goes. And now the one I flew in had two 1825 Pratt Whitneys, and they were 1525 horsepower. And we carried 765 gallons of 115-145 av gas.
Had a radio control fly-in this past weekend, and there was three turbine jet radio controlled airplanes out there, and they were quarter scale, but they were like 10 feet long, 8 to 10 feet long, and about 6.5 foot wingspans. And let me tell you what, I asked the old boy what his fuel consumption was, and he says, well, I get about 8 minutes on 1 gallon of diesel fuel.
These turbojets, they just ate fuel compared to what these fan jets do nowadays. And the thrust is incredible. But, you know, I remember seeing radio engines on some of the recreations of, you know, like B-25s and B-29s and stuff like that. And Dave told me that a friend, and I saw the video of that on YouTube, had a B-52 with those turbojets on them.
I tell you what, the creativity of some of these people that are trying to build these miniatures and fly them, it's something else. Matter of fact, there was one guy out there that had an F-4 and was flying it out there. Man, it was fast. It would hit upwards of 150 to 175 miles an hour.
Yeah, they were the hot rods. They had a squadron of them there at Moffett Field when I was there. And their only drawback was they had a real bad habit of having an exhaust trail behind them. But they were hot rods, man. Those things could really go. There was one of those come in one night. Now, I didn't actually see it, but I saw the video of it, and it landed, and it had a wheel fire. Hey, that's really, people don't realize what a wheel fire can amount to, but that thing was going down that 10,000-foot runway, and it was sparking like a fusee all the way down.
Cousin that was older than me, and he flew a F-4 in Vietnam. You know, that was back before they put guns back on them. And he used to call his the lead sled.
That's correct. I've heard that. We had one come in there at Cameron Bay, and he tickled his 500-pound bombs. He was taking off. And somehow, I don't know how, he had to have the master arm on, I would think. But he pickled the bombs on the runway, and they just bounced down the runway like a bunch of eggs. But it made us divert to other airfields at the time. That's hard to forget that.
I wonder how long he stayed in hack.
What happened, Steve? I just remember the occurrence. But those were 10,000-foot runways. That was the best base we had in Vietnam. And like Afghanistan, they just give it to them when we left. But they're using it now, I'm sure. But at any rate, Yeah, those were great planes. We had a lot of A-4s, a lot of F-8s. Those were a hot rod. And you're right, the recreation in these model airplanes are incredible. I seen some of the prices on model airplanes that used radial engines, and the radial engines were incredibly expensive back in the old days for those things.
Hate to say it, but one of the guys dropped what was called a Viper. That's a jet, and he dropped it in over there during the fly-in on Saturday. It cost him $18,000.
That one?
Six other guys, about 20 minutes to get it up out of the woods.
That's sad. Yeah, I never knew there was that much. Good Lord of mine. That's just unreal. Well, I asked Dave and DJW about that B-52, but there's probably still a YouTube on it. That was a huge thing. I don't know if they ever modeled the B-36 or not. Probably not. But they make some big ones. I know many years ago there was guys that had them that used chainsaw engines in them.
Oh, yeah. Well, that, most all the time, those things that are that big and scale, and they put the big chainsaw engines on them, that's folks that have built those things from scratch.
Yeah, I had a friend that rebuilt an Army. It looked like, I guess it was a Cub. He redone that, and he was a very, very fine woodworker, and that dash was all wood and everything, and I didn't fly in that one with him, but I flew in the Bianchi, I think it was called. It was, we set one person behind the other, and it was a stick. Yeah, he liked stick. He didn't care anything about a yoke. But it was all cloth, and now I think he bought it. I don't know if it was a kid or not, but the first one he made had a Volkswagen engine in it, Steve.
Surprise, and I bet you it was a Belanca. Yep, those were around for a long time. Well, Tom, I have arrived back here at the Hacienda, and I'm going to go in here and see what I can't get into some kind of mischief. You know, try to do something productive around the place here. So, oh, by the way, I just got my first COVID shot. Yay. So I may be out of the saddle for a couple of days. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to do. All right, bud. Good to talk to you this morning. Try to behave yourself. And, I'll try to text you a couple of pictures of that thing that crashed. And, you have a good day. K&4, VWA. I'll be clear after your final.
Yeah, I'd like that, Steve. I appreciate it. Well, I hope not. Just disregard it. Go on your way and forget about it. And it probably won't bother you as much. I assume it was a Pfizer. We're eligible for our third one the 2nd of October, and we're going to get them. I just talked to my nephew's a medical scientist and asked him if Bernice and I should get them after 6 months, and he said absolutely, 100%. And he just told me that yesterday, so we will. But I know you have reactions to the flu vaccine, and so I hope you don't to this, and I don't think you will. We didn't have any problem. Our kids didn't have any problem. Our grandkids didn't have any problem. So good luck with that, and think of it this way. Not only you're protecting yourself, you're protecting others that are around you. So kudos to you for getting that shot, Steve, and I hope it works out for you. And don't get lax. Get the second one and just feel like you're in the military and you're standing in line, get your shot, go on, forget about it. At least you'll have some protection. We hope. 73. Oh, I got to tell you one I heard yesterday. the lady across the street, and I use that word very conservatively, told me yesterday that these doctors, that for the reason she didn't get her shot was that every shot that they give, they're getting paid $400,000 apiece. And she really believes this. And I told her what my nephew had told us. And she says, I don't trust them, and I take vitamins. That's going to protect me from that virus. They walk among us. KN4VWA and 0TR 73 Steve.